We are going to have scattered thunderstorms all the way Sunday through the middle of next week. So we'll be ready for that.
So since the name of his album is called Country Grammar, would Nelly count as a country artist?
No country. Well, now you okay. Now, we got to take care of this quick because J-Man's on hold, and I don't want to leave him there for too long.
Since today's country day,
but Nelly was like the first kind of hip-hop artist, wasn't he? Or among the first.
Yeah, his name was the name of his album, Country Grammar, and he has a country accent, but...
Yeah, because him and Bubba Sparks and some of the other guys...
Yeah, Bubba Sparks was actually like legit
hip-hop. Like legit southern rappers who like, you know, it doesn't sound like East or West Coast rap. It's a whole new genre. Yeah. Man, that makes me want to play. What's the other country grammar song?
The other, that's what it's called, country grammar.
Baby, cock ready, let it go. That's country grammar. What's happening now? All right, well, maybe we'll play some more Nelly later. Thank you very much, Coleman. Reading right now from Politico.com. For years, Colorado's marijuana market minted successful local entrepreneurs who bootstrapped small businesses into national brands. The market drew aspiring cannabis professionals from across the country, whether they be ambitious college grads with a business idea or investors looking to get in on the green rush. In 2020, the market soared to $2.2 billion. Just 3 years later, sales had plummeted to $1.5 billion, leading to layoffs, closures, and downsizing. The market downturn has spelled trouble for state finances, too. Colorado took in just $282 million in cannabis revenues in the last fiscal year. That's down more than 30% from 2 years earlier. Ouch. Joining us on the line right now to talk about this and help us understand it is J-Man, Jerry J-Man Joyner, who's the host of Weed and Whiskey News. J-Man, welcome back to the show. Nice to speak with you again.
Thanks for having me on today, guys. And, I'm pretty sure I've got a good reason of why Colorado's having these huge decreases in selling of cannabis.
Yeah,
it's available everywhere now. Why do you want to go to Colorado when I can go to the corner store in Louisiana and get an intoxicating hemp product?
That might be the alpha and omega of this interview, J-Man. It's not really more complicated than that in some ways, is it? Now that everybody's got marijuana, nobody needs to travel to Colorado to get it.
Well, you referenced in 2020, 4 years ago, $2.2 billion. Michigan just did $3 billion in 2023.
Wow.
So as we had 12 more states have adult use available, we doubled the amount of states. Just about every state touches somebody or someplace that you can go and get recreational or medicinals in 38 states now.
Wow.
But folks, this the hemp-derived products, of which some of them are great and good products, and some of them you need to stay away from, okay? Use caution with these things. They're a lot less expensive than a regulated marijuana. When you go to a dispensary, you pay a couple hundred bucks for something on the street, cost you $100.
Wow.
So the black market's still very prevalent. So no wonder, you know, they were the first state. Everybody rushed there. Now there's no reason to go.
I see. Okay, so, but it's not just that other states have expanded their markets. They're reading from this Politico piece. They're really pointing a lot of fingers at the regulatory burdens that impacted profitability and sustainability business of cannabis business in Colorado. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the regulatory environment in Colorado, and now that may need some adjusting if they want to be successful moving forward?
Well, gentlemen, it depends on how long this show's going to be because there's so many quagmires.
We got time, J-Man.
With these regulations, you guys down there, I think it was last Friday, at the last hour, mm-hmm. changed some rules on your hemp-derived drinks, which have become popular all over the country. People aren't drinking as much alcohol because they're using these alternative beverages. You get a little buzz. You don't get a hangover. It's got zero calories. Well, you can't buy them in bars and restaurants, but you can buy them at truck stops and grocery stores. That's y'all's new rule on that, I think.
Yeah, if you did get a hemp permit for your bar or restaurant, you get to keep it, but they're going to stop issuing new ones almost immediately. So if you didn't get in on that early, brothers and sisters, it is too late. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned this, J-Man, because we've been having a lot of conversation on this program about the hemp-derived THC consumable market here. In states with actual legal marijuana products, these hemp-derived products are actually another source of disruption, right? I mean, they're coming in and undercutting the market. They're less regulated than the marijuana products. What effect is that happening on states like Colorado or Michigan, where they have actual legal recreational marijuana.
It's huge. You can go to a dispensary, pay $20 or $25 with the taxes and the fees and everything for a pack of gummies that you could get a pack of Bucka Buzz at almost any corner store for $5. Same exact Delta 9 THC. It's derived through the less than 3% where it's under the Farm Bill on the THC, but you get the same feeling and effect from it. So who wants to pay a premium, especially in today's times? You know, people's budgets are tight, mm-hmm. and if you like these products, does the same thing, why would you want to pay more for it? And again, the black market guys, that's really, I think, in America, our biggest problem we have with cannabis. It's still way larger than these billions of dollars that we hear about in states selling legal marijuana. I think it's twice, if not three times greater for the illegal marijuana.
Mm-hmm. What do you see the outlook as being for, federal changes in federal policy? We've seen them reschedule marijuana. I don't know. If you just had to kind of spitball for us, J-Man, what's in the future in terms of federal marijuana policy that's going to, again, then disrupt all these different state markets with their different regulations and such?
More complications and problems, guys. You know, everybody's talking about the rescheduling. Well, they're trying to get it rescheduled from 1 to 3.
Right.
Many people don't realize when they do this, every legal dispensary in America now falls under the DEA as a pharmacy because it's a Schedule III drug. So now the 15,000 legal dispensaries have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to be compliant with what they would be as a pharmacy, which they didn't have to do before, and then the burden on the DEA to regulate those. So, up in Ohio, the people voted for you to be able to have marijuana in your home, 6 plants you could grow. Well, the governor came in and says, well, wait a minute. We need to put a tag on there that costs $12 for each plant that they grow. So good thing they didn't do it to the tomatoes and the corn, right?
Wow. It didn't even occur to me what the rescheduling would do to people because, you're a pharmacy. Good God, that never occurred to me. Oh, I'm so glad we have you on here, J-Man. All right, so...
Thanks. You know, that's why I like legalization on the federal level,
but
the states deal with it just like they do with alcohol. Look, after Prohibition, we've been pretty successful with keeping alcohol away from kids for the most part, mm-hmm. and that's a big problem that we have with the THC products. We hear in the news all the time, some kid got a hold of some gummies. Well, beat that parent that let them get a hold of those gummies is what I say.
Yeah.
They need to keep that stuff away from kids, you know. But the states, they've been able to do this, and Minnesota is a pretty good example of how their alcohol commission has taken over the cannabis control. I think that's what they call it, the state cannabis control. Same thing in Ohio. We're going to see more and more of these people moving towards the alcohol, which is another thing. You know, people aren't just smoking pot no more. They're drinking it. They're eating these gummies. I had some ice cream for my birthday, guys. THC ice cream, 420, J-Man's birthday.
Wow.
And they brought me some THC. And it's going to be available at concession stands and concerts and all kind of places here this summer.
Yeah.
A small dose. Won't get you messed up, but enough to get a little buzz and get a little taste of some good ice cream.
I've been having a conversation a couple times during the Louisiana legislative session with one of the hemp-derived consumable manufacturers here, Joe Garrity. He says they're working on a sort of THC liquor, not a seltzer that comes in a can, but something that can be poured out, you know, in a 1.5 ounce shot and consumed in the same way you would have a shot of whiskey or a shot of tequila. And I saw that for sale at a bar near my house just over the weekend. I said, oh, man, it's here faster than I thought.
Yeah, there's probably 6 or 8 brands that have, some of them have what they call a speed rack now, which I had to learn what that meant. That means you got a gin, you got a vodka, you got a tequila, you got a whiskey, for your, and they're all no alcohol, but infused a low dose of THC. So it's kind of sessionable. You can have a couple of these and not just get zonked out of your mind.
Yeah.
And they don't taste like bong water either. You know, back in the day when I tried to do
this,
they tastes like bong water. I don't want to drink it. But they're refreshing beverages now. They got to buzz me up. It's THC and caffeine. So you get an energy boost to enjoy your buzz.
Wow. That is bonkers. Okay, yeah. Oof, what a time to be alive. All right, so J-Man, if there's over 2,000 businesses that popped up in Louisiana that are in some way involved in selling these hemp consumables, if you had to kind of, I don't know, give them some advice, because everybody is starting to understand, I think, in pretty clear terms, we're going to have some boom and bust cycles. It's this industry is not going to move forward in a straight line. What advice would you give to them to, you know, sort of insulate themselves from some of these changes and anticipate what's coming next and ensure that they're not one of the businesses that has to close because of some change in the regulatory environment or competition from other states or rescheduling or what have you? If there's cannabis business owners listening right now, what advice do you have for them over the next decade or so?
Well, if you're in the hemp business, you need to get with your politicians, your legislatures, and say, hey, wait a minute. We ought to not be fighting with the regulated marijuana. We should be doing this together. So that's an issue I think that's going to kind of pan out between now and this next election cycle. But my belief on the horizon, within 5 years or less, you'll go into Circle K, you'll go into 7-Eleven, you'll go into a Wawa, you'll go to almost any convenience store, grocery store, and you'll be able to get a THC, a product that's infused with THC. I think we'll see a proliferation of bad actors get out of the business because people will get knowledgeable, and that's what I think the main convenience store chains are waiting for. They kind of got burnt with CBD, guys, okay? They all embrace CBD. In Texas, there's 7,292 businesses that have a current hemp resellers license. And a lot of those are Walgreens and CVS's and Murphy USA gas stations. I was shocked when I looked at this list. They're not all just the little vape shops and the corner stores and the smoke shops. And so as I was inquiring about this, they said, well, we got burnt with the CBD. It just didn't work as well. People didn't really feel anything from the CBD. And we've been kind of waiting for how things lay out. So I think with this, the drinks coming on and the edibles and such, we'll see less and less people smoking and more people ingesting in a different fashion than we've ever heard before.
Great. Piggybacking off that, I did want to ask you a little bit about to just kind of expound on how else consumer behavior has shifted over time in states that have legalized recreational use. You know, at first everybody's rushing out to get the flower and buying these pre-rolled joints and such like that, but now there's all these different types of products. Where do you see the most innovation, the most success? What do you think we're still going to be looking at in another 10 years, and what are people are going to move on from?
Well, I think we'll see the younger crowd gravitating away from some of this high dosage THC. They call it dabbing and waxing, where it's maybe 90, right, 95%, okay? And that's what's causing some of these psychotic episodes and problems, emergency room businesses. I've been doing this for 50 years, guys. For half a century, I've been using cannabis on a daily basis. But I know if I try to do that dabbing, it's going to knock me down on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so I think young people, they want more of that. And we're seeing the over 50 crowd, they're embracing gummies like never before. Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I get to hang out with Willie Nelson and them down there at his house, down in at the Luck Reunion. And I'm talking to Turk Pipkin. And Turk says, Jerry, we don't smoke nearly as much marijuana. We're all doing gummies to help sleep or my back's hurting and such. He said, yeah, you know, our lungs are getting older. So I think we'll see a trend of connoisseur people smoking, these kids still doing these big rips on these vapes and these rigs. But I think we'll see more and more people taking these small doses of the gummies, the drinks, and getting away from alcohol. Alcohol sales are way, way down, and a big part of this is because of THC.
Yeah, I feel badly for people who are invested in the liquor industry in one way or another.
I smoke pot every day. Well, I used to. I'm doing gummies. I got a jar of gummies sitting right here on my desk, and every time I want to take a joint, I want to go back to the back and take a puff, I'm eating a gummy now, or a half a gummy.
Yeah. That's great. All right, Jerry, J-Man Joyner, always nice to speak with you. Really glad we could get you back on this week. Weedandwhiskey.tv, correct?
That's right. That's right, Ian. Thanks. Talk to y'all anytime.
All right, Jerry, J-Man Joyner, there he goes. Thanks again, bud. I see a couple of people on hold. I'm going to get to you in just a hot second. Stick around, and we'll talk to you after we take this break. When we come back, I'm going to play another one of our joyful, silly country songs.